So Kelnick, Olsen, Duvall, each homer in the same inning. Something we hadn't seen a lot of this year, Mike. That is one of the things we've been missing, like those back-to-backs or those innings where you just stack runs. That's kind of what happened yesterday. And Kelnick, you said it, three-run home run. I don't know what your impressions are. My impressions now are this kid can play. He's a great outfielder. He's making incredible defensive plays in the outfield, and his bat is working. I think we just found another gem. I just do. And it doesn't matter when or if Acuña comes back or how that's going to look for the future. Right. Mike, you have a young man right now in Kelnick that you have under control for a while that you took a chance on, and I think he's going to turn out to be a star.
And look, that's why I said a couple guys are saying you can't bring in a position player to play outfield, because when Acuña comes back, you know, Kelnick would play left, Ronald's in right, and Money Harris is in center. I get that. But, I mean, you have an option. You could then turn around and trade this player, and you still got salary control, because he's arbitration eligible in the case of Rooker. If you want to just rent a guy to help you get some juice, you go get Tommy Pham. He's been living on like one-year deals and getting traded every year because he's a good – it's not like he's a jerk. He's just a guy that takes shorter deals at the end of his career, and he gets traded. You know, so that's – I'm just trying to find a spark and find a way to just infuse this team with some offense. That's why I mean, a lot of guys agree with me about Nacho. Arcia's just not doing it this year, guys. And I get it. You know, he's you got him relatively inexpensive. Conversely, Dansby ain't doing jack up in Chicago. I don't have buyer's remorse on sticking with RC. I'm just saying get somebody in a shortstop who can actually put some pop in the lineup right now.
Let's hear what Jared Kelnick did as he put the Braves up 4-0 yesterday.
Below. Kelnick hammers this to right center field. And that thing is gone into the chop house.
So that was Kelnick, and then here comes Matt Olson.
Very little information to add. I'll ask a lot of questions.
Right center field gap. Does this have enough? You bet it does. Three homers in the inning for Atlanta.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of that. Last year, it felt like every inning, it felt like we were going to be able to do that.
And we've had to see, you know, all the young pitchers come up, you know, Elders come up. We talked about Schwellenbach, you know, who finally has some real traction after, you know, they lost a bunch of his starts. Well, the Phillies had a roll with Mercado. Welcome to the big leagues, kid. Pow! Because he got rocked out the first inning, first two innings.
Yes, he did. Hey, man, let's hear from Marcell Ozuna, who is going to be an all-star. Talk about his teammate, Chris Sale, and how good he's been.
I never surprised on him. I know he's the best, and always. I love the way he pitches. He got grind. He grind every time he go out there. He say like, I don't care who you are. I'm gonna go out there and strike you out. That's if you give me, you give me. So I got you next. So I love the way he pitches. I'm gonna tell God, please give me this year all year healthy, and he can show what he can do. So I love him.
He was giving you a home run power, Carl, a home run against the Phillies on Saturday, a loss on Friday. He also went yard with three RBIs. He is 227, small sample size, just a few games here in July. He is 5-for-22. So Ozuna has cooled off a little bit from that unbelievable clip that he was at earlier.
Yeah, he was carrying the team for 2 months.
Right.
Like 2 months, literally, he was that guy. Chris Sale was also talking about Marcell Ozuna. And Big O, I want to hear this because, listen, everybody's loving on each other because, again, it is an honor and a privilege, as Stitt said, to go to the All-Star game. But you realize what this team would be without the performances of Sale on the mound and specifically Ozuna at the plate.
Obviously, I've played against him a lot, but being on the same side is a lot of fun. He brings a lot of energy, and he's very he's in the center of it. Everyone gravitates towards him. He's the guy to be, you know. And like what you guys have said, guys look up to him because of what he's done, the experiences he's had, and what he does on the field, but because of who he is in the clubhouse as well. If he's in the room, it's never dull, and that's what you need, and that's what makes this game fun. Those are the teammates you remember forever.
You talked about it when we picked him up. You know, you knew him from covering Major League Baseball. He's got attitude and edge, right?
Sale does.
And we've talked about, you know, now the problem was with the Braves when they, you know, didn't win, maximize all that talent with Bobby Cox. The guys that had edge only played every 5 days. Chris Sale only plays every 5 or 6 days with a pitching rotation. We just need more of that kind of alpha dog in this lineup. It just seems like to the naked eye.
I agree, Mike. I mean, that's another reason. We didn't know physically what he was going to be because he was coming off the injury. Mentally, I know how tough this dude is. Like, he's a go-getter, man, and you're seeing it. And again, I think this was another great pickup. All of this stuff has to culminate, though. Let's not get it twisted, right? It's got to culminate with a deeper run than where we've been the last few years. We cannot get knocked out of the first round of the playoffs. If you feel like this is a playoff team, and Mike and I still do, we don't know if that's wild card. We don't know if they're going to catch the Phillies. Whatever it looks like, right? But that's what it's got to culminate with, even though they're without Strider and Acuna. We can't continue to make excuses about that. This team is what we're looking at right now. You just saw this weekend. Is capable. And that's the thing that we have to kind of hang our hat on. It's Dukes and Bell. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. Hey, Mike, as we were talking about this weekend, Atlanta United, man.
Oof. Yeah, all that way for some fans to Salt Lake City to see them get smoked.
They did.
Yeah, Almada, by the way, it's official. He's down there in Brazil playing. We did find out that Caleb Wiley will be on the U.S. Olympic team. It's different than the U.S. men's national team crowd that just got humiliated in Copa America. Caleb will be part of a team that is under 23. Different coach, too. Marko Mitrovic is the manager for that. But, yeah, now we got to see if Garth Lagerwey can find some dudes who can help Saba, you know, produce, because we're missing juice. Hey, like I'm a poet, I didn't even know it. You lose Almada. We already talked about losing Yorgos. So where's the offense coming from? Where's the attack coming from?
They've got to go sign another designated player.
Yep.
And 95% of this money that they just got can go towards that designated player, and actually they can go above that if they want to. So, Mike, you just broke a record. When we got rid of Miguel Almiron, right, and everybody's right. And I think people forget that was 2019 or whatever it was. And he gets, we get $19 million for Miggy. Everybody's like, man, this is great. It's a record, transfer record. They just got $21 million. So, again, it's not like the NFL where you can just flip this and, it's all profit to my point about 95% of the proceeds. But you got to go get another designated player that can play.
Second half, Real Salt Lake just basically blitzkrieged Atlanta United. That was it. But you're right. I do think, just real quick, we were talking about the business strategy. It worked. Now, Barco didn't really produce. Pity Martinez, it meant that we shipped him off to Saudi Arabia, but literally shipped him off to Saudi Arabia.
Did.
But I think that Garth, it's a different approach. I think you're going to look for guys like Saba, Lobogenitsa, guys that are not the upper tier of Europe, but guys that can score and help this lineup along with the homegrown talent. So the idea that maybe moving people up, we took young people from South America, molded them, and then shipped them off to Europe, and maybe that model ends now for United.
And if it does, Mike, does that mean we'll have guys here longer and more consistent?
Guys like Savit hopefully get traction here. Like, the thing with Yorgos, he just couldn't stay healthy.
No.
And eventually they just got him off the books. But try to find that along with homegrown talent through the academy, cheering it like guys like Caleb Wiley, and hopefully that'll be the balancing act. If you go back and look at Gart's history in Seattle and everywhere else he stopped, it was more of that kind of business model than what we saw from Carlos and from Darren Eales. So maybe the other problem as a fan is I really start to like a guy knowing that the clock is ticking and we're going to lose him in a year. That's a buzzkill, too.
It is, because you want to buy in, right? And I mean that literally. I mean, Mike, to Mike's point, he buys the jersey and the guy leaves, but you want to buy in as a fan and be like, hey, I know this guy's going to be here for a minute. There is something to be said about that. Hey, UConn coach Dan Hurley. Well, he turned the Lakers down, but he got his bag. He got his money. 6 years, $50 million over 6 years for UConn, Mike. He loves college basketball. Remember, he rejected a 6-year, $70 million deal to become the Lakers head coach. Mm. So, Mike, he stays in college. He still gets his 6 years, but he gets $20 million less. I guess, again, we say it, don't mess with happy, right? Because he could have easily gotten 20 more million dollars by going to the Lakers. He decides to stay. And Dan Hurley, again, now you talk about the highest paid guy in college basketball, back-to-back championships, Mike. So, congratulations, but I think this is what we were all expecting to happen.
Yeah, and no, it's not the LA, it's not the NBA payday he'd get out there, but, I just think, J.J. Redick is, I don't know what the expectations are. You and I, if we're honest, they're no better than the sixth seed right now in the Western Conference.
Agreed.
LeBron and company. Meanwhile, a guy who's on a really good team is Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. Hey, Carlos, we like to say on Dukes and Bell, you've got to love yourself before someone else will love you.
For sure.
He says, in Paris, the dream team, I'm the number one option. It flows through me. So
he does realize who he's playing with,
yes,
right?
Everybody from LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant.
Yes.
Steph Curry.
Embiid.
Booker. Embiid.
Yeah, he knows. Bottom,
Anthony Edwards. I'm the number one guy.
It's great.
Who built this?
Me.
Well, no, actually, those guys did. But again, the good news is those old guys are all rested because they all got beat in like the first round of the playoffs where he went a little bit farther. Now, I don't know if he was being tongue-in-cheek out there in Vegas, but It's caught. It's got the news is all over now that Ant-Man says that he is the dude, which I get a kick out of. Good for him, man.
Oh, I love it. And the team, listen, you know, for all the conversation we had about, you know, how they're building this team, it's length, right? You've got scores, you've got size, Mike, and you've got defense. And you need all of that because, again, the international game has changed so much where, you know, we used to roll people by 60. We're not going to beat Angola by 60 again, okay? So we just gotta we gotta make sure that we have all these pieces. But I love Ant-Man's confidence, man. And by the way, T-Wolves aren't going anywhere in the West.
No, I mean they got some cap issues they've got to kind of navigate. But I love that kind of vibe of his. You know, SGA's kind of got that same kind of attitude, and Jimmy Butler's had it for years. It's the kind of stuff. You know, it's not you know being cocky if you back it up. So it's just funny though when you play with the level of a Hall of future Hall of Famers that he's going to Paris with to say it flows through me. I'm the number one option.
Well, he's like one of the youngest dudes on the team, right. Mike. This is him talking about. This is what he said in Vegas. This is him.
I'm still the number one option. Yeah. Y'all might look at it differently. I don't look at it no different. Yeah, I just go out there and be myself. Shoot my shots, play defense, and, you know, they got to fit in and play around me. That's how I feel.
They got to fit in and play around me. Y'all.